singing like that almost all the time. Yeah. Be nice to have that piped in at work. You know, you pipe all this other stuff in. But they want to be fair, let me have my day. You know? Maybe some of them would get convicted if they did. So they need to come support. And it's good to us. I like that song. I don't think I've ever heard it before, but you know, in a Christian's life, we all come to places where things go on, and you just have to be still and know that God is God.
That's right.
You know? And it kind of goes with what I was saying this last Sunday morning, you know, recognizing your sonship. You just have to know that you're in God's hands, and He knows what He's doing, you know. Right. We may not understand. Most of the time, we don't understand until after it's over with. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing about it. When God does stuff, it's after He's done that we finally figure out what He did, you know. And so we go through things, and we find ourselves at times where we just have to stop and search our hearts and search our lives and be still and know that God is God, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate that song. Tonight I just want to talk to you about faith and prayer and forgiveness. And so we're going to read first from James chapter 1. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in scripture reading, I always read from the Old Testament coming forward whenever we read our opening scriptures. But tonight I'm going to go backwards. We're going to read from James chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Amen?
Yes.
James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's hard to do, but that's what the word says. Yeah. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We all want to get to the place where we're not want for anything. But the way we get there, we just read, and that's not doesn't seem like that's something we just want too much. If any man lack, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a promise. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, the Bible has teeth in it. It knows how to bite, you know, but it's the truth. Now I want to go to Mark chapter 11. Just took two or three verses there. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. This is our precious Lord speaking. You don't have the Lord just put these scriptures going on through your mind, through your spirit, and you know, you wonder how He brings all that together. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And then I want to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 12. Sorry to keep moving you all over the place, but we'll eventually get there. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's just bow our hearts for a moment. Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Ask God that you just take these words that we want to share tonight. Just, Lord, they're your words, and we pray that you would just bring them forth to your people. We know they are anointed. And so we just ask God that you'd be with us and help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Faith, prayer, and forgiveness. You know, God has laws in his economy, and laws are just like laws that we know here on earth. We have law of gravity and all kinds of things, and when you satisfy the conditions of a law, then the law goes to work and does what it is a law about. You take something and you throw it up in the air, that the condition is has been met for gravity to bring that back down to the ground. And you can do things with that. You know, there's all kinds of water wheels. When they take water and make wheels to do work, you know, they're relying on a law of gravity. And so once you learn what that law is and how it works, you can use it to your advantage, right? Mm-hmm. And so God has laws in his kingdom. And it's the same way. That's why they call it a law, because if it's this and this, then here's the outcome. Mm-hmm. And so God has laws like that. We realize that God is in the business of keeping his word.
Right?
We know that. The scriptures let us know that he watches over his word to perform it. And so like the prophecy of the virgin shall conceive. We talked about this before, but I think Brother Branham mentioned this, how that prophecy would just like circle the earth, and just, you know, a virgin shall conceive, and it just circled the earth until the time came, and until the condition came, until the right heart was there, and when that condition was met, that prophecy he was watching over that word, and though it was circling the earth for hundreds of years, when that time came and that condition was met, then he was watching over that word to make it come to pass, and he did that. So everything God has, it follows his laws of his own character, of his own word. And when he says it, it has to come to pass. But there are conditions that are met to make that come to pass. And so we realize he's watching over his word. And so he watches for those requirements. And when they're met, then he goes to work and performs what he said he would do. And so remember, Brother Bram tells us that, that if God ever healed a person on a certain basis, a faith of a certain basis, then every person after that that come along that had the same faith on the same grounds, then God would have to heal that person exactly the way he did the first one. He said, or else he would have done wrong on the first one.
Right.
Now you know he didn't do wrong on the first one. And so you have to understand that every time, every person on this planet, and God's been doing this for hundreds and thousands of years, he's been answering people's prayers, and every time someone comes to that ground where they meet that law and that condition, then he responds exactly the way he did the first time. He responds the same time every time.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but that condition to trigger that thing, to obligate God to his word, has to be there. You know, if it's not there, it's not there. And we can scream and cry and do and go, whatever you come up with. And if that condition's not met, then it doesn't happen, you know. I always thought it was interesting. I've mentioned this before, but you know, kids, you know, you tell them, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And they just do it anyway, and then when they get in the trouble, they have this astonished look on their face, like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know? And you know what? Christians are the same way. People are the same way. Not just Christian people, but it brings over into Christianity. If we're not obeying God's word, there's consequences to that, right? And, I mean, you know, I want to stand here, and I want to preach encouraging things to you. Brother Daniel wants to preach encouraging things. But no matter how much we encourage and how much we talk about good things, if you don't get into that battle and fight and win victories, there's nothing we can do for you.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Well, we get, you know, it's like Brother Graham said, that chicken pecking his way out of the shell. He said, if you, now listen, this is your prophet saying this.
Yeah.
If you help that chicken peck his way out of that egg, you're going to kill him. Because it is required in order for him to come out and be strong and be what he's supposed to be. He has to go through that strength building process there and crack his way out, and he's gaining strength. And every time you fight, you're gaining strength. But if you just lay there, you're getting weaker.
That's right.
Yeah. And so these are laws in God's economy. And so once those things are met, then here he comes. And so he will do like he promised he would. And so, but in his own time and in his own season, like we understand the testimony where the women who were prayed for and pronounced, they're healed and so forth. And I don't know how long time went by. They both lived on the same street. One of them had a cancer, a growth of some sort. I don't remember what was wrong with the other one. And they went for some time, but on the same day, same morning, the one of them got up and the thing had fallen off, and the other woman down the street, she was healed. And I think the way it was said was that the angel of the Lord came through that neighborhood to fulfill what the promises that were there that had been given, that those women were healed. And so God watches over his word to perform it. And you might wait a while, whatever, that's up to him. But he's got to fulfill his word. Once that's met, once you meet the criteria, then that law of God is released, and here he comes. And so he'll come through your neighborhood. And so this law that we're talking about tonight is having faith,
right.
believing in God's promises. And, you know, you possess the gate of your enemy after trial, right? After the cough and after the sickness and after COVID and all the things that the different brothers in the church here are going through right now, there's a day coming where every one of us are possessing the gate of our enemy. But right now we're going through trial.
Yeah.
right? And believe that, right? That's just as much true as anything else in God's Word is true, right? And so this law we want to talk about tonight is having faith, believing, as we read in the scriptures, that you know, Brother Branham was meditating on that scripture in the woods when the God came there and told him about creating squirrels. He was thinking on that scripture, and he said, I was puzzled about that. And the Lord said, that scripture is just like all the rest of them. It's true. Yeah. That if you can believe whatever you believe, you'll have, right? But you've got to believe it. That's the requirement of this law of God. Once you hit that faith in believing, then that law goes to work and brings to pass. And so we want to believe. Now, why would we not believe? Do we have more confidence in mechanical devices than we have in God? And I say that because every day, I think pretty much everybody in here drives, right?
Yeah.
You go out and you get in your car, and how many of you worry that your car's not going to start? Now, I've had times when it didn't, right? When I was growing up, we didn't have real reliable vehicles, and so it was but I mean, you don't worry about it. You're not fretting there laying at night wondering, will my car start tomorrow? You just don't doubt it. You get up, you go, and you have... Why? But it's because you pretty much don't have a reason to believe it's not going to start. Right? But we can have confidence in something like that. And, of course, Satan's not trying to fight you and make you doubt your car. Right? But God is greater than your car.
Sure.
He's much greater than anything like that. Right? But Satan wants to fight you and make you doubt God. And whether doubt God can do it, whether he will do it, whatever, or a different day, he won't do it anymore, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Satan doesn't care how he short-circuits you. He just wants to short-circuit you. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. But once you have that faith in believing, then God will manifest his word in your life. And so we don't want to put more confidence in mechanical things. In God. Has God ever failed?
No.
He never failed.
No.
We all believe that. Right? We all believe that. We all know he's greater than any mechanical device, any creation of man. We all know that. We don't doubt that. And we know God's never failed.
Yeah.
And we know he never will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So thus far in this conversation tonight, God's not the problem.
Right?
He never has failed, never will fail. Does he hear? Can God hear?
Yeah.
Right? Brother Ben talked about, yeah, God can speak. God can write. Wrote on the ground, he can speak. He can hear. Psalms chapter 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries.
Right?
Right? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. So God can hear. So when you pray, does he hear?
Yeah.
Of course he hears it. Right? So again, God's not the issue here, right? He hears. He doesn't ignore the prayers. He just said he listens to the cries of his people. He doesn't hear just turn around, walk away and say, you're on your own, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we know God doesn't fail, and we know he hears, and we know he keeps his promise, then why do we doubt?
Yeah.
Why do we doubt these things that he promised? And so a lot of times we say, well, yeah, God can do it, but he won't do it for me. And Satan will always give you some reason to say why God won't do that. Well, he won't do it because I did this, or I made a mistake, or whatever it is. Satan's always got a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Always some reason why, right? And so if you're like, well, yeah, I know God does this, but he won't do it for me because I'm just not where I need to be. I haven't prayed enough. I've not read my Bible enough, or whatever. You know, Satan tries to make people think those things like that because he wants you to try to think you get to God with works and so forth.
Yeah.
And, And so he wants you to think about it. Say, well, you know, I could, God could do those, but he won't do it for me, you know, because I've sinned, or I've made mistakes, or I've got iniquity that I, or something I haven't dealt with, and I'm just not quite where I need to be. And so, you know, my question to you wasn't he wounded for our transgressions? Mm-hmm. We read he was. So, if he was wounded for our transgressions, did that him being wounded, did that really take away our transgressions? Sure it did. Yeah, what God does, he does perfect. So if he was wounded for our transgressions, how can we come before God and God say, I'm holding your transgressions against you? Because he was wounded for our transgressions. Right. The scripture said he was bruised for our iniquity. Now Brother Branham comes along, he's first one I've heard say it, and only message preachers that I've heard say it since then, that iniquity is when you know to do something and you don't do it. You know better. Right. Or maybe you know you shouldn't do it and you do it anyway, whatever, but you know better.
Yeah.
Right? But the scripture said he was bruised for our iniquities. So were those bruises that he received when they smote him, and all the, was that sufficient to take away our iniquities? So then when we come to God in prayer, and we come to a time where we need to believe, will God hold our iniquities to us? How can he, when he was bruised for our iniquities? We just read the whole thing where it pleased God that he would suffer those things so that you and I could be free from them all. So when you come before God, if you've repented, if you're honestly coming before the Lord, how can God hold your transgressions against you if you put them under the blood?
Right.
How can he? How can your iniquity be held against you? You know, the scripture said, we're quoting David, blessed is a man that God will not impute iniquity, right?
Right.
So the scripture said he was chastised, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was chastised that you and I could have peace in our lives. And then we know he said, by his stripes we are healed. Peter says that we were, but here it said we are, because we were and we are, yeah. Both. So, he endured all these things that we read there so that we could, you know, that iniquity could be taken, transgressions taken away, by his stripes be healed, and we could have peace in our lives.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, what have you done that doesn't fall in that category?
Mm-hmm.
You've not done one thing that's not covered under that right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he endured all those things that you could have access to, all those blessings. he endured all those things so that when you come to your time where you need to believe, you can believe.
Yeah.
Because nothing's held against you.
Yeah.
You can believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, so when Jesus said, when you ask in faith, believe. Believe. Stand and believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's made it possible that we can.
Mm-hmm.
That we can walk up before God, and so to speak, and come boldly, as the scripture says, before the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
That he's an ever-present help in time of need.
Mm-hmm.
As I said Sunday, he's everywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your faith and your belief in him brings him right to the spot wherever you are. And no matter what condition you are, Paul and Silas in jail, begin to sing praises and here he comes.
Right.
Peter, you know, here comes the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Jonah down in the whale, and here comes the presence of the Lord. See, no matter where you are, your faith brings him there. Right? Because you believed it.
Right.
And that's why he comes. Because you can't keep him away when you have faith and you believe and you're his child.
Right.
And so he bore all those things so that we can believe. We don't have to worry about it and say, well, I just don't, you know. No, all the atonement took care of it. There's nothing, you're not packing anything to up there before you.
Right.
To hinder. You have free reign to come before God and believe. And so the scripture says, believe and ask. You know, pray. Pray means ask.
Right.
And so ask, but you don't want to ask amiss. We didn't read it, but in James it talks about it. You have not because you ask not.
Right?
And then he said, and then when you do ask, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Right? So now, we can't come before the Lord with confidence and faith to ask him for something that we don't really need. Something that glorifies flesh or something like that. Right? You can come before the Lord when it's his, about his kingdom. It's about for his glory. So you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, for, you know, heal me that it'll be for your glory.
Yeah.
You know, for a purpose for his kingdom so that you can do something for him and live for him. You know, I heard Lonnie Jenkins say years ago, he was had a man that he had been talking to that had was sick The man wanted to be prayed and wanted to be healed. And Brother Lonnie said, well, you know, what do you want to do? You know, if the Lord heals you. And the man had horses. And his response was, well, I'd like to get back among the horses, you know. And what Brother Lonnie was hoping the man would say, well, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to testify for the Lord. But no, he wanted just to go back and be among his horses. You know,
yeah.
Go back to being a farmer or whatever it was. You know,
mm-hmm.
What a disappointment, right? What a disappointment that someone would want blessings from God that they could turn around and just use it for themselves or for the flesh or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's really working right, you want to give praises to the Lord. You want to testify for him.
Sure.
And so you don't want to ask amiss and ask it just for some lustful thing or whatever, but you want to ask in faith believing, right? And don't waver, right? Because an unstable man is a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. So you don't want to waver. And I was reading, I don't have the quote to hear from him, but I was reading where Brother Man was talking about that. And he said, you know, you can't, you got to believe it. And he said, you've got to be inspired to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and inspiration is a strange thing, you know.
Sure.
You don't know when it's coming sometimes. You don't, it's not like, sometimes it's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had that place on my back, that growth that came up there. And I just kind of looked in the mirror. I didn't feel inspired, but something, I just said, fall off. And it did, not instantly, but within a day or two, and it was gone.
Yeah.
Right? So, my wife, she forgot about this or whatever. But, you know, inspiration. And Brother Rem said, you got to be inspired, you know, and we want to live for God, walk with God, and so that at any moment, God can give that unction, right?
Yeah.
And when that time comes, you know, believe it, and you'll have it. You'll have what he asked for, or what you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you want to believe. And Brother Ram was talking about that, you know, up there with those squirrels, you know, and the Lord showed him. That's just exactly the same way it is in any other scripture. It is the truth that if you have faith believing, you can have whatever you ask for. And I love the story, because Brother Ram said, I just made it ridiculous, right? By the time he spoke that third squirrel, he just, you know, first one was on a limb, a dead limb, and I think the next one was in a locust thicket or whatever. But the third one said, let that squirrel come running off down here and go sit out on that limb out there and look at that farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened, you know. And not to be sacrilegious, not to be just to show that once you drop into that mode there where faith believing, that what you say, you will have.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But you just can't be on your own lust. It needs to be something for the Lord, and it really needs to come, a lot of times, just come from inspiration that strikes you.
Right.
So position yourself and live yourself, live in a way where that you're a reflector of that, or a receptor of that inspiration, right? That the Lord can speak at any moment, any time, right? So we definitely want to do that. And so we want to believe, and then we want to ask. Because if you ask not, you have not, because you ask not, right? As we mentioned a while ago. But the thing there that I just want to finish up with, where Jesus was speaking there, he said, you know, when you ask and believe, forgive.
Right.
And I really think, I was talking to someone last night and had been meditating on this anyway. And I wonder if we could somehow do a poll of the hearts of all us, all the people. Would we find something in there where we're not forgiving someone? Something in there where we're holding something against someone from the past? Maybe that was totally wrong against you. And I wonder that I really, it's for the last week or so for sure, it's just keep coming to my mind, we need to do some heart searching. And because if we do not forgive, then it won't be forgiven.
Right.
We won't be forgiven. It's a very simple, not a complicated doctrine. It's very simple. The Lord said it. That makes it true anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense, too. And I'll tell you why here in just a minute. So, when we have needs and we want to believe, and we want to ask and pray and go to God and believe that we're going to get these things. But when you do that, you also have to forgive. You can't be holding something in your heart against someone. We have a tendency to really magnify others' mistakes or others' failures, and especially if it's something they've done against you. But we don't use that same magnifying glass on ourselves. You know? And that's human nature. But you see, as the scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do to you, not do to others as the way they do to you, but do to them as you would have them do to you. If you would have them treat you kindly, then you've got to treat them kindly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you would ask them to forgive you, you've got to forgive them.
Right.
It's a simple thing. So, but you have to forgive. If you want this to work, if you're looking for God to do something in your life and you're trying to have faith and you're trying to believe and you know these promises, but I'm asking you, look inside and search your heart, search yourself and say, is there something there where I'm holding something against somebody? Because if you're holding something against somebody, you don't quite understand it yet. Because we're all in the same boat. And we do the same things that other people do. We just don't see it as much as we do when we see it in them.
Right.
Yeah.
We, you know, and I will tell you something, a surefire way, or whatever that phrase is, for you to do, to really go off and do so, is for you to be critical about someone else who's got some problems and mistakes. You be critical about that, and I will tell you, before it's over with, you'll be doing the same and maybe even worse.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen it over and over. If you look at somebody and you don't like the way they're raising their kids, be careful what you say if you're going to have kids. Because before it's over with, you'll be making the same mistake and worse than they are, because that's the way it works. You know, you reap what you sow. And so we have to know, we understand the phrase that it's not our brother and it's not our sister that's the problem. It's the devil. It's what Satan has tried to do in their life. That's the problem, right? And we look at that and we want to think it's the person, or we act like it's the person. It's not the person. If Brother Daniel walked up here right now and slapped me in the face, I'd have to say it's not him. It would be the devil if he did that, which he's not going to do that, right? I know he's got enough of God in his life not to, right? But I'm just using that as an example. You have to understand that. I don't care who it is and what they do. It's the devil. Because if that person truly understands, truly understood, they'd be a different person. The people who've left this message is because they didn't understand. They didn't catch it. They didn't grasp it. Because if they did, they wouldn't have left. Right? Because it's truth. But somewhere along the way, they got tripped up or whatever it is. And we have to look at that, and we have to have compassion on that. And pray for mercy over that. Because that could be us. Right? Could have been us. As the phrase, you know, except for the grace of God, there go I. Right? And that's the truth. And so you say, well, so-and-so did something. It wasn't them. They didn't mean to. It was the devil's influence that made them do that. And God dealing their life at some point, him dealing with them, they'll come around and apologize. They'll come around and they'll you know. So believe for God in your own life, but believe for God in their lives too. Right? Let them be human and let them walk the path of grace and let them come to the place of repentance and let them come to the place where they grow in God until they come, you know, and while all that's happening, they're just as good as you are and vice versa, right? Because we're all under the blood. We're all under the blood. And so we just have to know that it's our brother or sister, it's not them, it's the devil. Because we're all in the same boat, and we do the same thing they do, just on varying degrees, mm-hmm. right? And so I know as Christians, you know, but you understand the concept here. And we have the same faults they do. So remember, Brother Branham, and I think we had it on the bulletin board. I don't know if it's there right now, but we're going to talk about taking a man to prayer, to God in prayer. And that's where he said, you know, he said, I don't believe, you forgive me for saying this many times, but it's still true. He said, I don't believe that any mortal being can stand in the presence of God and condemn another man. Now think about this. Think about what he's saying. If you actually come into that presence, whether it's in your prayer closet or if God was sitting up here on the, you know, and you walked in, you know, I would dare say that if something happened, Brother Branham was really here with the respect that we have for the gift of God that was in his life. If he was sitting here, you probably couldn't condemn somebody in front of him just because of the level of God in his life. But, you know, to come into that presence and so that you begin to experience what God is and that all that goes with that and that nakedness before him, you couldn't stand there and turn around and say, that guy, you know, and I believe Brother Graham's right, that you can't do that. You get in the presence of God and really get there and then bring that brother before him. Brother Bram said, when you're done, you'll come back down and you will put your arm around that brother because you know what he's been through. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is to understand that when we get into the presence of God like we should, we'll understand others' battles.
Amen.
And we won't condemn them. And we'll put our arms around them and know that it's been the devil that's put him through a lot of things and that we're all in the same boat and we're all putting ourselves under the blood of Jesus Christ and we're all going through together. So, Brother Branham, you know, that was a good thing there. And he's right. So, I'll end by saying this. You know, he says, you've got to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, it won't be forgiving you. But I want to just end by saying it this way. I was telling someone about this recently. If I have unforgiveness in my heart, I'm holding something against someone else, and I expect God to save me, and he put me in his heaven, he put me in his kingdom, and I had unforgiveness in my heart, I wouldn't fit there.
Right.
It would not belong. Mm-hmm. Right? You see, God's putting us somewhere where those things can't be. Brother Bram talked about being beyond sublime. The divine love is the only thing that can be there. See? So we can't have harshness in our hearts toward others. Right? We can. And we're, you know, Brother Daniel goes through things at work and me at work and I got a neighbor that, you know, with the issues and all that. We go through those things, but brother, we have to stand back and say, is my heart right?
Right.
Yeah.
about the things that I'm going through. Because it's not the things you go through that define you, but it's the way you respond to them.
Right.
See? And so it's, to me, it's a checkup time for people to need to stand back and say, what about me? What about my attitude toward family or to friends or neighbors or coworkers or whatever? What about that? Because, brother, sister, we cannot bypass God's looking, his magnifying glass. He says these things for a reason. We have to forgive and believe and accept these things. And we can't short-circuit it. We can't bypass it. He will not let us bypass it. He will not let us. We have to peck our way out of the egg, right? And just remember, well, while you're fighting, while you're working, you're getting stronger, and you're becoming more like what he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so we would not be welcome there if we went there with unforgiveness, right? Holding grudges against someone else. It wouldn't fit there. Matter of fact, if you got there and you was the only one there and everybody else was all divine love, who would you tell it to?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't fit. It's not part of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. To be part of that kingdom, we have to get rid of those things.
That's right.
And every one of us has got things in our lives that we have to put under blood and forgive. And that means, you know, there's a lot can be said about that, but that means truly forgiving someone. That doesn't mean you hold it over their head. Because he doesn't hold it over ours. He doesn't say, well, you know, yeah, I'll let you in, but I just want you to know I'm about the, out of the goodness of my heart, I'm letting you in because you really messed up. God don't do that. Right? And he wants us to be like him. Amen. So it's his character that will come and live in us, that makes us like him, that can cause us to truly forgive. And so if we want these things in our life, we've got to believe. We've got to ask for them. We've got to press for them. But you've also have to forgive. Amen. And that's why I wanted to share those things. Just a few thoughts that the Lord has been dealing with me with. Amen. I hope and trust it gives you something to pray about, to meditate on. Because I think they're real serious things. I heard Brother Bram say, I don't know what sermon it was in, you know, but I heard him say, talking about people gossiping or talking about other people. And he said, brother, one of these days that'll keep you out of the kingdom. You know?
Yeah.
He was like a lamb before shears. He didn't even open his mouth.
Right.
If there was anybody who should have been able to open his mouth, it was him. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. Because he required that in order for him to pay the price for us.
Right.
Yeah. And we have to walk that walk. We have to carry that cross. You know, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We go through things that's wrong, and we just have to endure it. Right? Mm-hmm. There are things God gives us victory over, but there are things we just have to endure because that's part of the fellowship of his suffering. Mm-hmm. And if we want to reign with him, we have to suffer with him. You know. And so these are serious matters that we can't let slip. We've just got to make sure that that we don't bypass them because they're required. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to take it. We thank you for this time to be here. Midweek, Lord, we just thank you for the faithfulness of these that come out, and Lord, we're just asking for your blessing upon them and those that aren't able to make it. We ask God that you bless them also. May they listen to this and may it be a help to them. May they also do some soul searching, heart searching, Lord, and just through it all, Lord, just we want to just come closer to you and closer to one another and be more like what we should be, Lord, not to be just letting things slide or something like that, but Lord, for each one of us, just to become more like we should be, to forgive and love and help one another. Lord, we just love you, and we pray that you just seal and commit this word into the hearts of your people. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Even though
say.